Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I am Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And we're here today for a new episode. Drew and I are back together. Obviously,
back together,
we're here today
we're
for a new episode, else you wouldn't be listening or understand how the internet worked.
Talk us through it. Let's go.
So what we do is we record an episode, put that episode on the internet, and it's in iTunes somehow picks it up. I'm not really sure how that all works, but iTunes
might
picks
not
it up, and then it goes straight to your mobile
ears.
Device,
your
right?
ear holes, right in your ear holes.
It downloads directly into your brain.
Hey, speaking of listening to things, started The Deep today.
What do you think so far?
I'm about 3 hours in. I'm enjoying it.
I liked it a lot. Yeah,
I am very. The claustrophobia at the beginning is getting to me. I'm speaking, of course, of Nick Cutter's The Deep, his follow-up to...
Not Peter Benchley's.
The Troop.
not his follow-up to The Troop, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this.
That's a good book. I ended up going through... Like, I loved the beginning, and I didn't like the middle as much, but I really liked the ending. So...
The way through. I was really, really impressed by it.
I'm really enjoying his whole, like, scientific approach to the horror, too. Like, it's... Just like how The Troop, I'm not going to ruin The Troop, but The Troop wound up being not, I mean, it was a horror story, but it's rooted in something that could probably very well take place.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny that that's where you draw the line. I'm not going to ruin The Troop for you.
I'll ruin The Deep. Let's talk spoilers
today, but not that.
Well, I feel like a book is a big investment of time, whereas this is a movie is a... hour and a half, 2 hour investment of time. Once you're in a book, it's almost like...
So wouldn't you rather the book ruin so you don't have to read that then?
It's about the journey,
I feel like if I was involved in a book, I'd be much more invested in the actual...
You're involved with a book.
I mean, when I get involved with a book, I feel like I'm much more invested in that than I am with a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand. I completely understand.
Have any of you ever stopped reading a book like halfway through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? I feel like I have to push through it, which I know is ridiculous. But
I quit books all the time. If I'm not into it, I quit it.
I mean, that's the thing.
You hit it and quit it?
I hit and quit it. Well, I don't quite know.
There are just so many good books out there. There's just no reason to spend time with one that you're not enjoying, you know? Find another book.
Speaking of good books.
Send books in the sea.
Boogie House, T. Blake Brady.
That's right. You can find it on Amazon, $3.99 on Kindle.
I'm reading Matt Holtz's Husk right now. It's an interesting kind of a schlocky horror read. It's entertaining so far.
T. Blake Brady's Boogie House is also available in print on Amazon. Just search for Boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E, House, like the word house.
And much like that that studio that turns out stuff like Transmorgifiers and...
Transmorphers.
I have also self-published a book called Booger House.
Asylum version.
That's it. Asylum.
Booger
that's who
House.
I was thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's about
Booger
a
House, quite good.
It is about a detective, a hard-boiled detective who has a very bad allergy problem.
Brian's Booger House is terrible. I mean,
He is haunted by his allergies, which I seem like I am right now.
I am getting so much Boogie House residual runoff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, T. Blake's Boogie House is very good.
Mr. T.
I got confused. I did read Booger House first, though. He got me. Fooled me.
It was in Redbox. And
in my my book cover, it's just me in the back doing the wink and the double guns. Gotcha.
It's the exact same cover, but you photoshopped into that.
Exactly.
Doing that.
I photoshopped my face into Tyler's face.
Whenever I get an email from CreateSpace for the book, it emails me Mr. T, because when I filled it out, it was like Mr. or Mrs. Doctor. I was like, well, obviously I'm a Mr., so I put that in, and now I can't change it. So I am not just T. Blake Brady on there. I'm Mr. T, so I love it.
He's gonna sue you.
Is it an automated like email? It's like
it's
not
like
a person.
Your weekly like sales and that sort
of
stuff.
Okay, so someone's not going, I pity that fool.
No, that's me to myself. Like when I email myself, I pity that fool.
That was I don't know if you ever watched The Whitest Kids You Know, but they had a sketch. It was called Mr. T Gets Cancer,
which he did. Like,
and he goes, one of the guys sitting there going like, they hand him the result. The doctor goes, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have terminal cancer. Who? What? I'm sorry, Mr. T, you have terminal cancer. And then he just turns to the camera and goes, I pity this fool.
That's a very sad sketch. Was it funny?
It's pretty great, though.
Oh, cancer. Always with the laughs with cancer.
Speaking of cancer, episode 106 exists.
Cancer exists.
Yeah.
But this movie wasn't about cancer, was it?
Wasn't it about the cancer of our
That was the metaphor of the entire movie.
Our
protagonists
were cancer.
They were cancerous. God.
Well, it's kind of like, Stephen King originally wanted to title Dreamcatcher Cancer until Tabitha told him, that you're bringing some bad mojo on your head for wanting to name a book Cancer.
I imagine a lot of that at their palatial key home in Florida. Maybe not.
What?
He asked the kids, and they're like, dad,
He lives off of Casey Key in Florida, and it's a palatial estate, and I imagine...
That's Duma Key, dude.
But he, I imagine a lot of that going around that day, like, I'm going to call it cancer.
Dad. You are the king of horror, don't get me wrong, but...
I would like that conversation, too. I think we've talked about the Stephen King trumping everyone conversations. Oh, I'm sorry. Are all of us here successful writers? Oh, yeah, okay, yes, maybe. But how many of us have made billions of dollars? Me, right, so fuck off.
Yeah, who made Maximum Overdrive? I did.
I do think that Joe's getting to the point, though, where he's like, shut the fuck up, Dad. I've sold enough of my own now.
And without the last name King. I thought I saw Joe. Yeah, so episode 106 is the Eduardo Sanchez film Exists, which is a Bigfoot,
Sasquatch, Sassafras.
I gotta tell you, I really want to see a really good Bigfoot movie. And that's what I've been wanting.
Massey just hearing the
and
Hendersons.
I still want it.
Zing!
This wasn't it.
I tell you what,
Harry and the Hendersons. I liked Harry and the Hendersons. Did you ever watch the TV show Harry and the Hendersons?
I didn't realize there was a TV show.
Yeah, Bruce Davison was the John Lithgow stand-in.
That makes
for
sense.
It. Yeah, it was like one of those Saturday. It was like the syndicated sitcoms that always came on like Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning, so you never could really catch it because you never knew when it was going to come on.
It's funny because we tried Google Hangouts broadcasting, and it has effects, and when you said that I still wanted a good Bigfoot movie, I so wanted to hit the rim shot effect that we just had.
That would have been a good one. Tyler would have hated it.
Yeah, Tyler would have hated it.
The audio guy, I would have not.
He doesn't like it.
There we go. I have to say, I kind of liked this movie.
Did you?
I think so.
Well, I got to say, I would agree with you. Well, no, I won't agree with you.
Okay, but my least favorite thing we've watched in a while.
I think my problems with this film amount to the five protagonists.
Yeah, that's where now we're talking. If we're gonna talk about hating something, man. Thin characters.
They were loathsome in every generic stereotyped. Yeah.
Like they made the Friday the 13th remake guys people I wanted to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Which is bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how bad these guys were. I was like, I think I'd go and hang out with that really douchey guy who, you know.
It was like they saw A Cabin in the Woods and were like, oh, those characters are great. We should totally, after they start getting the pheromones, we should maybe totally get those characters involved.
Drew, this is the logical extension of when you say that you kind of want characters to be there to be murdered. This is the extreme of that where it goes beyond where you want it. Like the characters in this movie are so paper thin as to be non-existent.
It's an awful script. An awful script.
I would say the dialogue and characterization is some of the worst that we've seen. I still like some of the sequences in this, though. Like, there's something about it I still do sort of like. So, but I also wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. I had some stuff to get done, so I was like, you know, folding laundry and stuff while I watched it. So I watched it, but there were still some pretty not good stuff, like the characters. I mean, like, especially if we're talking about really terrible beginnings to movies, this is like, I thought that I accidentally skipped ahead. So
I don't know. I do know what you're saying there at the beginning. It did feel like they went ahead and jumped us to the point they were driving to a giant party and never told us they were going to a party like they usually do in these movies. But then we found out they weren't going to a party. They weren't really going anywhere to do anything. But I felt like they missed that scene where it's like, why are we out here in the middle of nowhere?
It reminds me a lot of Baghead, but
bad.
Yeah, like Baghead has the it has kind of a fresh reason for being out in the woods.
Oh, yeah. They were out there for a reason. They were trying to write a script, you know, with nobody around, right?
Are we talking about Exist or Back Yet? Because I missed that. Okay. Because I was like, I missed that part of Exist.
No. This one has that. And like, but Exist doesn't. It's just sort of like, it's not even quite, it's not like in the middle of things either. So it doesn't even have like an in medias res sort of thing. It's just like, here we, like, we're going and here we are. Like, I have gotten to the point where either I don't know a lot of young people at this point, like people who are 20 years old, but like the ones I feel like I would know wouldn't just like hightail it to a cabin for no discernible reason.
But then we find out they do have a reason. They want to shoot some shitty YouTube.
Later. This is later.
I mean, but they never give us that's the reason they're there, but then that's ostensibly right. Now we're finding out, oh, that's why they're there.
Extreme.
I mean, I know a lot of people are sitting there and talking about, you know, found footage fatigue and things like that. I still think there are fresh ways to do it. I still think that Unfriended, for some of the unsuccessful things it had some unlikable characters too. Still, its central idea and what they were trying to pull together, they pulled off. I thought this is this is one of the most pointlessly found footage movies. There was no reason to make it found footage. I mean, it didn't even set up some of the best sequences could have been done with Bigfoot, but just shooting it like a normal horror movie about Bigfoot. Yeah. There was nothing added from that at all.
Are you, like the way that it was shot?
The found footage from making it found footage. I mean, it was the most purposeless usage of found footage, especially coming from somebody who kind of, you know, helped create the modern found footage film.
That's
here.
True.
I mean,
Eduardo Sanchez, the Blair Witch Project. They're the reason. Speaking of cancer, this is the reason why found footage is probably so prevalent.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I don't. In retrospect, I don't have a lot of fondness for the Blair Witch Project. I mean, at the time I did, but I gotta say that, I mean, I still think this movie still exists, still has a little bit of choreography that I liked about how the cameras were put together at certain points. I think some of it was all too well choreographed to make it seem like, oh, this is way too improbable for it to have just happened this way. But it's also, but I did like the way that some of the cameras sort of, some of the camera movement, the way the cameras landed. Like, there's one scene later on where I think it's the first person to die, where the girl gets picked up in the door, the camera gets dropped, so you only see her legs and torso, right. And then a guy accidentally kicks the camera around, and then she gets tossed in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. I thought that sort of stuff was really cool and well done, but for the most part, it felt like a VHS gimmick. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like, do you remember the VHS segment where they, where it's about the guys with the bike, like doing the bicycle races in the woods, and then they get caught by the zombies? You remember that one?
And VHS Viral?
No. I think it was in the first one.
I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think it was in the first one, even, wasn't it? I think it was like the third segment.
I think Sanchez has a segment in one, and I think that might be it, though.
Oh. Well, I thought this. Yeah, well, then that makes a lot of sense as to like that felt these like, things oh, felt. Yeah, yeah, they felt a kinship, and I don't know. I didn't totally hate this movie. I gotta say that I didn't. And
I was very mad at the red haired girl at the beginning when she was burning that dude's beard. I was like, huh.
I thought that. I mean, all of that was lame.
At first, when I first saw that, I immediately thought, oh, Drew. That made Drew mad.
I could totally hear
Drew going like, well, that's just not funny.
Man, I just didn't care about it. It wasn't, and it didn't make the characters at that point, characters who already weren't very appealing. It does nothing to make anyone appealing.
Also,
I mean, honestly, if you thought that was funny, then
you're a dickhead.
I don't want to meet you, and Bigfoot should probably have killed
what
you.
This comes down to for me is that, first of all, Bigfoot out walking at night, you didn't have any like any reflectors on to show you were walking. I mean, you were on a road. Granted, it's not a paved road, but give us a fucking break. I mean, you're out there walking at night. You can see the headlights. Get out of the way.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Fuck you, Bigfoot. Well, it's like all the Bigfoot from the Jack Lynx commercial is just like
messing with sass or whatever. Yeah.
A Ride in the Park, Eduardo Sanchez and Greg Hale, VHS 2.
Oh, it is in 2.
I'd really hoped that we'd also adopt the phrase instead of Bigfoot, squatching.
Mm-hmm.
Some squatching.
Doing some squatching. Well, yeah, I it seems as though part of the script is not a script at all. Like, I mean, with the Blair Witch Project, they would give, like, they left gallon jugs with sort of like cues for the day. Like, here are some emotional notes you have to hit, but otherwise we're staying out of it. It felt like they might have done a little bit of that here.
Well, and that, I think that's what would probably make a found footage film good or work, is that you're giving them minimal input instead of trying to force a
script
and force a perspective of it being a found footage.
I don't know.
You're probably right about that, though, because the amount of times the token black guy says dude and bro, like, you know, hey, bro. Nobody uses bro that much.
I think that probably happened, but I don't know that it makes it. The philosophy would say, like, oh, yeah, this will make it better because they have to be in the moment. They have to be real. But what ends up happening is that if he just gives them the emotional notes, then that's where they have to, like, steer conversations toward that. And so, like, this movie has a lot of problems. So me saying I kind of liked it does not mean that I think it's without problems. Like, there are some really glaring, terrible things. Like, the scene later with the shotgun was almost unwatchable, where the guy runs out and just starts shooting blindly into the night, and like, he's like, no, bro, they killed Liz, they killed my best friend, I'm gonna go shoot, like, that sort of stuff, because they were sort of safe, and like, that sort of stuff, just to put them into harm's way, I find to be like almost inexcusable in horror movies like this today, like, where it's You have an out and you don't take it. You're just like, oh, I'm just gonna make myself have trouble. Like, I don't understand that in a horror movie these days.
And there's also a like, for me, the telltale sign of bad. I'm saying this like I'm a graduate of the UCB theater with improvisation. But improvisation. I'm sorry.
I'm just fucking.
Put their hands to their head. It always makes me think that they're doing bad improv.
Is like that, when they do what?
Like, oh my God. Like, when they can't express a feeling and the hands go automatically to the head. For some reason, that always feels like they're phoning the improv in.
It's the dazed and confused problem. Like, when you're a bad actor, you put your hair behind your ear or touch your nose.
There you go, yeah. Or a bad podcast host.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian. I think there are a lot of problems, but we are in the stage of this genre, subgenre, like, found footage stuff, which this one, like, if we're gonna be technical about it, like, maybe it is, but not found footage. It's just like, it's in the style of found footage, but is more of just like a mockumentary kind of thing. Because it's not really, is it really edited together, or is it just sort of like what happens in camera? Which, I mean, none of that really matters, but I feel like we're in that growing stage where the genre, the subgenre, is moving somewhere, but it doesn't quite know what to do with itself yet. Like,
it's definitely a grower, not a shower. let me. I'm also disappointed that when they figured out it was a Sasquatch, we also didn't get a whole diatribe about Sasquatch scat when they were trying to find the poop. I'm like, oh my God, this Sasquatch scattered all over the place for us to mark its territory. I was disappointed by that.
Do you remember, did you guys play
I was also disappointed by that in Harry and the Hendersons. So that's just that may be a running theme with me and
you
Bigfoot.
Just really
is
want
that I just want to see Bigfoot shit.
Is it Bigfoots or Big Feet?
Big Feet. Also
Bigfoots.
I mean, this is a horror film. We could at least got a Bigfoot hanging dong shot.
I think it's Bigfoot, even if it's plural, like moose.
Let me pause.
A whole clan of Bigfoot.
What are they? What is their collective group name?
They would be a cadence. A cadence of Bigfoot.
A box of Bigfoot.
A box of Bigfoot.
A cadence.
A
promontory of Bigfoot.
Soul of
a
Bigfoot.
A shoe carnival of Bigfoot.
Yeah,
carnival. I like a carnival. A carnival of Bigfoot.
That's good.
A bogo of Bigfoot.
You get one Bigfoot, you get another. Do you think that Bigfoot would have a genitalia much like a dog or like an ape?
Ape. Duh.
You think?
Yes.
Okay, just ask.
100%.
I wonder, or it would just be very... I feel it's a problem. It's probably just more human, though. Like more Neanderthalish or something. I mean, maybe. Some sort of...
Which is like ape, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know.
That's my ancestors now. Come on.
Which is where I still think one of the
I ain't related to no monkey.
I think that's one place where the movie goes wrong as well. So I think they're trying to have it both ways, where they keep talking the whole time about Bigfoot. There's no, you know, they need to be provoked, and you know, and we feel like for most of the movie, it's seemingly unprovoked. I mean, yeah, we find out later it's I know what you did last summer to Bigfoot, but yeah. But I think they would have been smarter to have taken a different route and gone a more extreme kind of exploitation-y route.
Like Rob Zombie's Bigfoot.
Well, yeah. But made it some sort of, I mean, I don't know, go as far as you can with it. And they're looking to, I just read Layman's, which one was that I read recently? God, I can't think now. Either way.
Layman's Guide to Bigfoot?
No. It was After Midnight or The Cellar
and
all those.
The Woods Are Dark. That was it.
The what?
The Woods Are Dark. And there's like this, you know, this group of, you know, it's almost Hills Have Eyes-esque kind of mutant people who have to replenish themselves by, you know, bringing people in off the, you know, they capture off the, you know, the main thoroughfare. And I think that would have been... Make Bigfoot. I mean, everyone thinks he's nice and unprovoked, but then in this one, no, he's looking to you know, he's trying to find his new harem, trying to bring it, you know, bring in the ladies for that and killing the guys. Yeah. I think something of that, and it, like, go extreme and make it more exploitative. Than by the end of it, we're like, oh.
I just think you'd have to make the characters more likable. I think, and that's which I agree with you. I kind of like the idea of like Bigfoot's just a jerk.
As Drew says, more extreme. I'd like to also add more, literally more extreme.
Extreme,
like in it,
like drinking Mountain Dew and like,
I wanna go,
yeah,
playing
like,
Halo,
yeah, exactly.
And also porno graffiti, just like all over the place.
Oh, so much porno graffiti.
So it's becoming a Juicy Fruit commercial at the point at which they're jumping in the water. I'm seeing.
Something
like that.
Rose, bro.
If you're gonna have that kind of movie, I think you have to make the characters way more likable, because it's already such a distasteful sort of like visual movie. Because
and
it's
also, you know, also in that scene where they come to the lake to get extreme with their biking. Everyone in the last few horror films we've watched where lakes are involve lakes that I would never swim in.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I am never going to swim in a lake where I could easily reach all sides within like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's not a lake.
That's a pond.
That's a dirt hole.
Yeah, that's a pond.
It's full of scum and stagnant water.
It's man-made.
It was full of scum here, the actors. Right?
Right.
Isn't that probably what most lakes in East Texas are like? I don't know anything about East Texas.
Well,
swampy. They'd be more swampy.
Let me sum up Texas for you. They like guns.
Yeah.
Everything is fracked. Oil.
Like Battlestar Galactica.
Everything is, well, literally everything is fracked.
Oh,
like
Battlestar Galactica. Kind of fracked.
And also figuratively, look at that miasma of bugs over there in the sunlight. Just, I'm sorry, I digress. Texas. And then there's Austin, which is some sort of like hippie commune in the middle of this conservative
state. Kind of like Athens in Georgia.
Yeah.
But that's also not, I mean, you're not even talking about, but that's a nicer part of Texas too, because you're not getting out into Lubbock part of Texas.
We drove, I've driven through West Texas.
We are losing our Texas demographic tonight, guys.
We are losing our Texas. But I never realized that people actually lived in shacks until I went to West Texas. Like, you know, you have the vision of, I know what lower class, I'm sorry, low income America looks like here. It's mainly like dilapidated houses, but it's still got four sides. And for the most part, it shuts up at night. But driving through West Texas into like out past, what's the city that Friday Night Lights is filmed in?
I don't know. Lubbock is always my example.
There's Lubbock, but then there's Texas. I can't remember exactly where we went up to New Mexico, but it is like people living in shacks with lean-tos up against the barbed wire fence. It's crazy, like the level of poverty out there that you don't see, that I don't see on a daily basis.
Right, because you live in a city.
Right, city slicker.
Did you guys ever play Undead Nightmare?
Yes.
Brian, did you play Undead Nightmare?
Fresh my memory about Undead. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. Yes.
Did you guys take on the mission to kill the last sass?
No, but yes. I do always remember your comment about it, the whole, like, the weeping Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's horrifying. I mean, I think there's something interesting to... I it goes back to Frankenstein, I guess even further back than that, but, like, the idea of the sympathetic, like, humans are the real monsters. It's just, this movie is a lot different. Like, this movie's way too muddled for that, because... In Red Dead Redemption, you definitely play as a monster, like a reformed monster, but a monster nonetheless. And tracking down the last Bigfoot is just like, just kill me. I'm the last one. I don't want to live. Like, there's something really, there's a lot of pathos there. And I think for this movie to work more, you need to
kill him.
You need to make them, like, the people. Different. Like, I almost think the movie would be better if it was a group of hunters who was out there just, like, hunting for stuff, and then they see this Bigfoot and they're like, oh, let's just kill it. And then, but then you have him hunting them down, and then you have this, like, extreme violence. Like, that works better for me, because then you have a more sympathetic villain.
It would also explain the, like, it would really give a good reason for the cameras too. Like, they're out there filming their hunt.
Yeah, like, we're making our hunting video. Like, this is our year. Like, because that happens. Like, people do this shit.
Paying us to make a hunting video.
You got to set it up more like Orca at that point, though. I mean, you know, so we know ahead of time the reason Bigfoot is after them is because they killed his mate, essentially.
I thought it was his kid.
But no, I'm saying, well,
oh, yes, Orca,
but
I'm saying Orca,
in this movie that we're now making, the hunter, the hunters kill a Bigfoot, and there are other Bigfoots out there. And
Bigfoot.
And at least one of them comes after them, and it gives it that personal mission. And then we're humans, so we're supposed to, you know, pull for people over animals or monsters or whatever. But at that point, you don't really know which way to go. And it kind of works that way and I like that even better, because I like the killer animal movies, but I like that angle on it, because it gives it
a reason for its rage.
A reason, but it also gives it a certain beauty and a certain sensibility. And like you said, it really drives home the people are monsters point. This is just the people are awful, jerky people, but they don't really deserve to be ripped limb from limb for just being kind of jerky.
I want to add to that.
Like I said a while ago, it was like they had their lights on. It was the Bigfoot's fault it got hit.
I would say something very similar to that. Like, I don't even think that you need
for a Bigfoot to cross. It had to cross right in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, they had to see the lights on.
I mean, and there was, there was clearly a sign that said Bigfoot crossing.
This is truly, actually, this. The more I think about it, this is absolutely all big. This is bad Bigfoot parenting, is what it is.
I totally agree.
Yeah, Bigfoot was out looking for porn or drugs or something, and just let baby Bigfoot go. Go ahead.
The father Bigfoot was on a mission to find a moldy backpack full of porn in a drainage ditch, like the rest of us did in the early 90s.
He's a young dad. Like, no one said he's an old. Like, he's making poor choices. He is extending the cycle of Bigfoot young fathers. You know, it just
one, and we don't know what, like, a Bigfoot lifespan is. So, you know, it could like adolescence in Bigfoot could be like 30 years. Yeah.
It takes a long time. They live a while.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a short lifespan.
Drew, going back to what you said, I think you're right, but I almost think I would like the movie better if you made them... I'm picturing the hunters going into the woods and just killing things almost with... They are not hunters who care about the environment. They are hunters who are there for sport and are not good to the... Like, then there's this sense of, like...
You're totally fine with that.
They shoot a bunch of animals, and they, like, Bigfoot, like, they wander into Bigfoot's, and he, like, care. It's almost like Swamp Thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Swamp Thing.
Because I love Swamp Thing. So I think, like, I would love a Bigfoot Swamp Thing movie where it's just a bunch of asshole hunters who wander into Bigfoot's lair, and he just fucks them up because they're
even
awful.
See the footage, too, of, like, the hunters
holding them up and just throwing them away.
One of them bringing out, like, the automatic weapon because he thinks it's funny, like, and just destroying a deer. And
it's like the Purge.
It's kind of, it would be like
take my weapon away, Obama.
It would be like Predator meets Swamp Thing. And I would love to see that. That sounds like an awesome movie. We should do it.
This, because this is not the movie we watched.
All of this is copyright Harold podcast.
I think we need to write that script. That would be a kick ass movie. Like, I think that would be a legitimately interesting horror movie.
And not found footage.
No, like, it would be. There would. I think there could be.
It's been a while since
I animated.
It's been a while since I've read Rob Zombie's Bigfoot. But is this the No. Of Rob Zombie's
no, book? Theirs is like, it's like a couple is out there.
Okay.
This is very much Steve like set, like a 70s exploitation-y kind
exact,
of version.
Yeah.
Of
yeah, like they wander out there
the
and he's there. And
Hills Have Eyes yeah. with Bigfoot.
There was a, now there was a, like a prank. I don't know if it was a prank, but a scare show, scare tactics.
Oh my God, their Bigfoot thing was so awesome.
That
was
yeah,
the best,
that's what I kept thinking of the whole time.
Sequences.
There was oh a Bigfoot gosh. Episode of Scare Tactics where it was a group of kids in a RV.
It was so good.
And it was legitimately scary. Like yeah. that.
One of the best ones they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that
oh
one
gosh.
Brief 10-minute like thing segment in that show was, you know, miles scarier than anything this movie had to offer.
Miles.
Miles.
It's miles better. It's kilometers better.
there was one part of this movie that was I thought that what impressed me, and that was the scene where the guy what Matt I think his name was.
I don't know any of their names. This time I did not care.
Was riding his, when he encountered the Bigfoot on the trail with his bike.
Oh yeah. That's
cool. And was yeah. riding away from him, and it kept cutting to the Bigfoot running beside him. I think this is legitimately scary. I'm
yeah,
scared. Like it,
I
it's frightening.
It.
But that's yeah. like but that was also like that could have been Friday the 13th.
Right.
The kid I mean I why haven't you seen that, you know, and we probably will in a new one, you know, kid riding a bike trail around Camp Crystal Lake and runs into Jason on the bike trail.
I still liked it. I still thought that was a cool scene.
If there was one scene that stuck out in my mind, it was that. Yeah. That one scene.
I think that and the one where the guy... Sorry. Do what, Drew?
I said it just got her stereotypical compound fracture. Everyone gets a compound fracture
yes.
in these movies.
The bones always have to show.
Yeah, so you have to see it. You can't just get... Oh, is
have you ever wrecked a bike, bro? It's real easy, okay? I've seen guys go down.
Broken. Oh, his legs are really broken. I can see it.
So if like it's probably been a year now, but I took Jackson out to ride mountain bikes in the park near us.
Did you run into Bigfoot?
No, but at one point he got off his mountain. He got off his bike and was walking it up a set of like steps. And I was like, "Oh no, you just do this." And I tried to like pull a front wheelie on the step. Instead, my bike ran right into the step, and I just went right over the handlebars. And like he still talks about it. It's like one of the funniest things to this day.
I've never had a compound fracture.
Oh, I didn't compound fracture, but
Have you ever had a compound fracture?
No, Burt Reynolds had one in Deliverance.
Have you ever
that.
Broken anything?
Yeah, I fractured my wrist.
I broke my arm twice.
I've broken my hand. I thought I broke my foot for the marathon last year. I've gone ass over tea kettle on a bike. I landed head first on the concrete.
I broke it off in that ass a few times.
The other scene that there are a few camera shots I really liked. And one of them, though, is when the one guy who sets the fireworks runs away and he's getting chased. Yep.
Guy.
I
think it's okay at this point in a movie that is blankly set up its characters at this point. That's literally his defining character.
Was there a black guy? Because I don't see color, so I don't know how it works.
His name is Todd.
I'm pretty sure.
So Todd runs when he's running from Bigfoot or Sassafras and gets. I loved that scene. I like the one that I mentioned where. I also like the one where it's from
like that one.
Huh?
I like the one you mentioned earlier. I like that one. Yeah,
I thought that was really well choreographed. I also like the one. I like the way that the cameras came together so that it showed Sassafras pushing the trailer off the side of the mountain or whatever. I thought that was really well done as well.
I like the RV,
the pram
or whatever. Yeah,
I think Act 3 is pretty good. Except for the scene where the guy goes out, Todd goes out and starts shooting blithely at the at Sassafras.
God and everything.
I can't go back on what I said any more than that, but I did like the RV sequence.
Yeah. There was a scene.
You can't backpedal any more than that.
There was a good scene where he lined up the bodies, and I thought that Bigfoot was going to give us a sweet jump over the bodies on the mountain.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been hilarious.
Extreme. And he would have if little Bigfoot had still been around to see it.
Right.
And you know what he would have done? He would have done just like you did. And then he would have laughed his ass off at daddy.
Oh, my God. That would have made this movie. It would have struck such a chord with me. I'd be like, I understand that feeling, little Bigfoot.
Watch this.
What's your favorite Bigfoot related media? Like movie, song? Because there's the Tenacious D song about Sasquatches.
I still always wanted a good one. Like, I still hadn't gotten his. I still think the Boggy Creeks are essentially Bigfoot-esque.
I like that Harry and the Hendersons, definitely. But I like that footage from the 70s of him walking in front of the camera. That's probably my favorite.
The original.
Yeah.
Go back to the original. Red Dead Redemption, that was cool.
I haven't gotten to that part in Undead Nightmare.
I mean, I like Steve. I like Zombie Niles.
Yeah.
It was a combo, but.
That's right. It was Steve Niles and Rob Zombie. Yeah.
I like that, but it wasn't super memorable as trying to remember it now and unable to bruise.
Let's get to the real issue here. Do you think Bigfoot's real?
No.
No.
No. You think it's
Do you?
Wasn't the worst egregious one of the most egregious fakes recently was from Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it was the two guys who claimed to have killed it. And it was a rubber.
Did you say the Jew guys?
The two guys. The two guys claimed to have killed Sassafras and stuffed him into a cooler, but. It was just a rubber suit with some caro syrup on it.
I came to my work. I actually came to the lab I'm in.
What?
They sent it to us for necropsy.
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did.
What?
Everything from the DNR comes to us.
You did not get that.
I wasn't working there, but it did.
Okay. No, they didn't.
Only
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Sightings. Only state
can't swim.
With no sightings.
Because it can't swim.
Why would they send something fake?
Everything. Has to because it was involved a legal the police.
Oh, so is that when they gave up the ghost when they were like, oh wait, no, it's fake.
Huh. Yes,
really.
Well, one was a cop, right? Wasn't he? One of these guys was a cop, I believe.
I know they were d bags. That's all I know. They could have been professional d bags.
They should have taken pictures of them teabagging the.
Well, if
the
you
Sasquatch though,
Drew, that is of all the people on the podcast who would say that.
Well,
I would vote you least.
By default.
That's exactly what those guys in my mind would do if they have a dead Sasquatch, and that's the pictures they'd take.
Just like in Call of Duty.
You know?
Hey, by default, when you said
one of the guys
is a cop, I automatically assumed he was a douchebag as well.
Drew, are you becoming a D-bag in your old days?
No.
No, you're not. You're not becoming a dude bro?
No, I just imagine, like you said, I imagine they're Alabama fans, and that's what I'm
You're an Alabama fan, aren't you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why would I have said that?
Ooh.
Hey,
that's them's fighting words.
Elephants is off limits around his.
Brian, you can leave now.
I don't have much more to say about this movie. I mean, it's not whatever. I'm not totally whatever about it, but I also recognize that it's not good. I think I enjoyed watching it. I would never, ever watch it again, but I wasn't entirely oppressed by its existence. I get it.
That's the nicest thing I will say, but I don't think I was bored necessarily watching it. I just didn't think it was good at all.
It's not good. I agree with you. I am not, like, by saying that
I was interested, but I was like...
It's a sad state of affairs that's sort of what I can say about a movie that, like, oh, it didn't offend me. Like, its existence doesn't offend me.
I think I was so excited because I had the day off today, and I've been moving, and so I was just sitting, not doing anything, and I think it could have honestly been anything, and I've been like, this is fine because I'm just sitting, not doing anything.
Yeah. You had a day off, and you had to watch this abortion of a Bigfoot film.
And I still want a good Bigfoot movie. When I said that to begin with, that's the thing watching this made me think is like, I want a really good Bigfoot movie. I
still haven't seen Willow
Creek.
That'd
be a great way to go.
Have you seen Willow Creek?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. Have you seen it?
I haven't. It's in my DVD queue.
No. It's also in a Dropbox if you guys would like to look at it.
I was going to say that. I would like to watch it in conjunction with this. If
what are you saying, Ryan?
Better.
I bought a copy and put it in Dropbox for easy access on mobile.
I just want to know if it's better, and I'd like to watch.
Also,
I would think so. I think Bobcat Goldthwait's been making some interesting movies, not good necessarily, but interesting. Like his movies are, which is weird. Like it's a weird way to parse saying something's good. You know what I mean?
We're also living in a world where there are we're in the fourth season of Searching for Bigfoot.
What?
There's a show on A&E or Travel Channel or Discovery called Searching for Sasquatch.
Sassafras.
It's like all these ghost shows. You can't tell me that. Like we've talked about that. I mean,
ghosts are real.
And then you would have seen one by now, dude.
Right? Yeah. They're real. The news. Breaking news. Ghosts are real.
It's like, how have they not seen it?
I mean, it's weird. Like we're in a world where
I think our new house is haunted.
Do you?
Yeah. It's a window that opens on its own. I think there's just a bad spring in it, but, I mean, but possibly that could be a good
I thought you were going to tell me that you bought a new laptop and it was Windows-based. I was like, God, there's a window I don't want to open.
I have a thing in my house. I thought the house was haunted for a split second a couple weeks ago because I closed the door to where I record, and it made a sound like somebody hit the door. So I went out into the hallway because I thought Kay was messing with me, but she was totally just sitting on the couch. And so I was like, did you do that? And we went through a whole thing where I was like, I swear somebody hit the door. The dogs were on the couch. So like, they were not around. So for about a week, I was like, something weird happened. But it's just that there are two contact points on the door. And so if you close the door too forcefully, like, it pulls itself back out and deforms and makes that sound. And it happened a few days ago. I was like, that's it. I'm really stupid.
So but, because he closed the door too strongly.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know my own strength. I'd have preferred, Kate said, no, if I was going to hit something, it'd been in your face, asshole.
I love what you imagine our relationship is like.
Well, she's too nice to be real. So I imagine, like when no one's around, she's very abusive.
It's just like,
you walk down the hall, she like trips you from like trips one leg over and you fall and you're like, okay. She's like, shut the fuck up, pussy.
Sit down. Yeah. That's exactly what it's like.
Huh? Yeah. Kate is sleeping with the enemy or reverse. You got reverse sleeping with the enemy all the time.
You got reverse sleeping with the enemy.
Guess what, dude? I reference that movie a lot, and yeah. You'd be surprised how many people have not seen that film.
At this point, yeah. I'm not surprised. No,
I have only seen it once.
Like Sleeping with the Enemy. They're like, what? I'm like, God damn it, Sleeping with the Enemy.
That was her follow-up, right? It was the big follow-up to Pretty Woman.
There is a
Patrick Bergen.
Patrick Bergen Belson.
The other Robin Hood.
So there's one of the people I work with. Her name is Laura, and every time I see her, I'm like, Laura. And she's the same age as me, and she never gets it. I'm like, have you not seen Sleeping with the Enemy?
I think it's more than that. Like, I think that movie's okay, but I only saw it once, and I remember liking it a lot.
Oh, it's an abortion of a film.
Oh, yeah, we're not recommending this.
No, I remember thinking abortion of a film. That's my new thing now.
I'm not recommending it, though.
I remember seeing it once. I remember liking it, but I also think that the title encapsulates such like exactly the right thing that it's easy to pull up as a reference. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's like the movie, whatever, like it has very little cultural cachet, but I think the title really stands out.
True.
So, yeah.
Well, it was so big in that small window in which it came out, because like I said, it was, I mean, Julia Roberts was still in her zeitgeist moment there.
However, IMDb says its rank this week, it's 176 down from last week. So we got to bring it back up, guys. It's dropping.
I think we are. I think this is what we're doing.
Let's check IMDb this time.
Next week to see if we've brought it up. Sleeping with the enemy. Sleeping with the enemy.
Sleeping with the enmity.
Sleeping with the enema.
Sleeping with the entity. That's a pretty good horror movie. The Entity.
These would all be
That should be the sequel to The Entity, the Sleeping with the Entity. Like, she accepts it.
Aren't they remaking The Entity right now? Isn't that the one James Wan's doing?
Are we going to get the titular line? Or not titular line, but the great line at the end that, welcome home, cunt.
I don't know. I'm not making it.
Its budget was $19 million. It grossed $173 million worldwide.
Jesus. Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yeah.
God almighty.
102 domestically, so a lot.
I can see like studio executives at that point in time, like doing the whole rolling on the bed with money, the indecent proposal money scene. That I can see that happening in the late 80s.
I like to imagine Patrick Bergen's agent trying to explain how much of that money was made by him. And so when he's trying to negotiate Patrick Bergen's next film, and they're like, nobody went to see that movie because of you. They did.
Now you understand, I'm a real actor.
That's why they cast him as other Robin Hood, right? Still.
I can't believe you said the C word on this podcast. Was that in Sleeping with the Enemy?
Like going on in your backyard right now.
There is.
There's literally squirrels fighting to the death in the backyard.
I like how Brian just distracted from your your castigation.
Look at this. It's like a real. It's like
look at him, Brian. The question still stands.
No, yeah, I said the C word. Big deal. It was in the movie.
Is that what it was? I couldn't remember if it was in the movie.
Yeah, no, he said the
that would be a weird if that were the titular line, then that would be the title of the movie.
Cunt. Welcome home, cunt.
I don't see that movie making $170 million worldwide.
He's not talking about that movie either.
Patrick Bergen's follow up was a TV series called Scream 2.
Barbara Hershey?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. You got him confused.
What?
Never mind.
Third base.
What's his follow up was what?
A TV series called Scream 2.
Oh, okay. TV series. Okay.
Yeah. No, his movie follow was Robin Hood, the other Robin Hood.
But it didn't get released in theaters.
Did it not?
No.
Then in that case, his next follow-up was a movie called Highway to Hell, where he plays a character named Beezle.
I'm pretty sure every Patrick Bergen movie you're going to name right now doesn't get released in theaters until, like, Patriot Games.
It was written by Brian Helgeland, who is known for Robin Hood, L.A. Confidential, Mystic River, and Beyond Fire.
Brian Helgeland is a
Patrick
big
Bergen's
name.
Mustache was legendary in Sleeping with the Enemy.
I thought it was Kevin Klein for a really long time.
His womb broom was amazing.
If it were him, it probably would have... That movie would be even bigger.
Kevin
he
Klein?
He was in Patriot Games.
I know. That's
Kevin Klein?
No, that's what I was saying. That was probably Patrick Bergen. The next movie he had that actually made it to theaters.
Kevin Klein?
Patrick Bergen.
All right, this has gone completely off the rails. Let's end this.
Patrick Bergen bull cast.
Let's do a whole episode of Patrick Bergen movies.
I think we could do
Highway to Hell.
I think we could probably get him on here.
I think he's dead.
I don't think he's dead.
He's not.
Just so you know, Patrick, we thought you were dead last week. Welcome to the podcast.
That was just Tyler. Just.
I won't be on next week's
episode. Last thing.
It was Shark Week,
apparently.
I just made that up. Also, too, when they... I did have one last note
Lawnmower
for the...
Lawnmower Man 2. He was in Lawnmower Man 2.
The scene in Exist when they find the Evil Dead basement in the cabin.
Yeah.
Okay. That was it? That's what you're ending on?
Hey, guy.
Good?
Hey, the Evil Dead reference.
I wish they'd done more with that. I thought that was another place where I thought we were going to see the uncle had like Bigfoot bones or something down there. We're going to see, that's why Bigfoot's after him or something like
Bigfoot
that.
Petrified Bigfoot scat.
Yeah. That's what I really thought why we're going to find out. That's why Bigfoot was after them in particular. What? But that's the other thing. Because, right, so now by the end of this movie, we get that the only reason Bigfoot came after them is because, like
they
I said,
get
I
Bigfoot's baby.
Know what you did last summer to little Bigfoot.
Yeah, they killed Jack Black, basically.
But what... Then the question becomes, why did the uncle never come back to the cabin? Did they attack him? Because apparently they're still, unless provoked, we still see from this, unless provoked, they're not. There's nothing wrong with them. But we never saw any reason to believe the uncle had provoked them.
Maybe he saw it. Maybe he saw it and was like, oh, fuck this. Maybe he didn't provoke it, but he just saw it out and about and was like, oh, man.
I guess I get that, but I mean, honestly, you're out in the woods, and that's the thing that's going to frighten you away from a cabin in the woods.
Yes,
cabin in the woods. There,
Bigfoot
out there.
Bigfoot.
I mean, I don't know. I think I'd come out there and I'd try and capture some footage of him. Or something.
If I saw Bigfoot right now, I'd never come back to this house.
But they're unprovoked.
I'd literally never come back.
You're gonna provoke it, then you're fine.
There's always a chance.
Also, don't steal his jack links or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if I saw a Bigfoot anywhere, I'm never going back to that place. I don't. It's like bears. I feel the same way about bears. I'm not going to go back to a bear place.
But I'm going to go to
Harry Gayman bars?
yeah. But, I mean, you're never going to... I mean, that's like never going to the woods, though.
Yeah.
Don't go in the woods.
But I've never seen a bear. If I saw a bear on the Appalachian Trail, I probably would never hike the Appalachian Trail again.
Can I tell a bear story?
Yeah, please.
I may have told this before in the podcast. Hiking in the Yosemite National Park up in Cathedral Peak, we got to the top of the little area to the little lake on top of the mountain. My friend Preston turns around and goes, oh, shit. Like, what? I turn around, and where we had just come from is a fucking bear just walking along. Derp, 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 hey, I'm a bear. And I, for the rest of the time on top of that mountain, knowing we had to get back down that way, I'm like, oh, we're going to fucking die. We're going to get mauled by a bear.
Did you put honey on your face to try to get it lick it off for a picture?
I was like, oh, this is going to be so cute, Pooh Bear.
You grizzly manned it up. You're like, come on, let's wrestle.
I did, like, yeah,
get
I was
back.
Like,
no.
was it the guy from Roar, the father from Roar, the Marshall guy? Oh, they just want to play.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
I had two run-ins with bears actually while hiking.
I've never. I've heard them, I think, but never seen one.
They saw me. See you, and they're like a kindred spirit.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's my cub,
daddy. That's what I imagine. Like really sharp claws, like Lenny. Like, oh, I'm going to worry. I grudge you. Like that's what I imagine bears speak like too.
But no, if I saw, that's like if I went swimming and saw a giant squid, I'd probably never go swimming again. Or like, let's say if I saw a, I don't know, like a mythical, what's another, mythical sea creature?
No, squids are real.
I know, but like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's a mythical sea creature?
The Kraken?
Yeah, if I saw the Kraken, I'd be like, I'm never going swimming again.
Well, I would agree with you on that. If I saw a once mythical creature has now come to, has been made flesh, I would probably not go to that place again.
Like Sasquatch. Sasquatch, if I saw a Sasquatch, like a half-human hybrid, like, I don't know what they behave like. We only assume what they behave like from what we've seen. We have no idea.
No, but, like, that was the...
No, that's why I think the Bigfoot in this movie should be just awful, just, like, just right. Rage filled, you know.
He is the Jackling after you stole his Jackling.
Yeah,
speak.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is more or less just Shockma, the sequel. So I think Shockma. That I thought that at one point. I mean, I think the problem with a lot of these movies is that they are just killer, like killer animal movies. You're just displacing like a bear for Bigfoot. I think if you're gonna have a successful one, like come up with something new. That's why I like the Rob Zombie thing. Like it just felt like. The Hills Have Eyes, huh?
Or about the hunters?
We're probably gonna have some problems getting that swamp thing similarity there. We might need to work on that.
Well, it wouldn't take place in the it wouldn't take place near the swamp
as a tagline.
It wouldn't take place near the swamp.
Bigfoot.
We'd use our own quote pull quote on our own poster. Like,
man.
Like Swamp Thing meets Sasquatch.
Listen, the amount the director. So I was reading through a issue of either it was Fangoria or Rue Morgue, whatever came with the horror block yesterday, and I was like, the amount of movies that are advertised in here that I have never heard of. If we could, I'm pretty sure we could make our Sasquatch movie.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're gonna
start Indiegogo.
Everybody does that now.
Well, you know what? You know how we make it cheap. Let's do it found footage.
No.
Yeah, what we should do is we should do a found footage version, and what it is it's kids going to a cabin.
Or, better than that, the movie Kids with Bigfoot.
You know, that would be good.
You just make it cheap. I mean, that's...
I can do Bigfoot with zero makeup.
Yeah?
There we go.
This movie almost did that, too.
You'll need a little makeup.
Just shoot me in the dark. It'll be fine.
There you go. All right. We had to do some weird camera angle stuff, though.
And also, at least
are you gonna be
18 to 20 good pop hits on the soundtrack?
Are you going to be the little Bigfoot?
Yes. Of course I am.
Okay. Come on. Oh, my gosh. Can we get, like, maybe we should get, like, Will and put him in, like a big, you know, hairy... Gosh, he definitely has, like, a... Yeah, he could...
A lumbering...
He could be Bigfoot, yeah.
Have you ever seen the episode of Bullshit that does the Sasquatch myth?
No.
There's a scientist on there who's he specializes in
cryptozoology.
This is an actual scientist. Cryptozoology is not science. But he says like
as you
he
breeze.
He analyzes the video footage of the original, like he talks about like why it's bullshit and why it's fake, cuz like Sasquatch in the video, like the original video, is like swinging his arms, and he's like apes don't swing their arms when they walk like that. Like, that just doesn't happen.
But Sasquatch isn't an ape.
Right. I don't believe that. That's a false indicator, I feel, to use that. And I'm not sitting there saying that the footage is real by any means. I just feel like that's a guy who has a degree and is saying, this is the reason that I'm telling you it's not real, but he's just kind of making up a reason, too.
You think so?
I mean...
The scientist, the guy who studies this stuff? cryptozoology, like a guy who went to like Harvard.
Apes, though, you're saying.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Bigfoot. That's not real either.
I don't remember. I don't remember what he studies. I don't remember what his degree. I don't remember his curriculum vitae.
But that's the question: are they humanoid or are they ape?
Are they humanoid or are they ape?
And then you know, I think I don't know. I think I'm going to go with the cryptozoologist over that.
Yeah, let's go with the guy who wants it to be real. Like Christians, let's do that.
Christian Bigfoot.
Christian, yes, that's why he can't be.
He's a proselytizing Bigfoot.
He wants to believe in, like, he believes so much in Jesus that he thinks if he exists, then it will denounce his own fate, so he refuses to go out of a cave. That's right. What it is. That's what I think.
I thought it was just a Bigfoot that they crucified. I thought that's all.
Oh. Yeah. Awesome. Now we're getting into some interesting story ideas for our Bigfoot movie.
Let's table this for next week.
This is obviously not the first film.
We'd call it.
This is a trilogy.
We'd call it Swampfoot.
Yeah, this is a trilogy.
The Passion of the Squatch.
The Passion of the Squatch.
That's gonna be the second one.
Passion of the Sass.
Or is that the third one?
Yeah. And then the third one would be called Sassafras Roots.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Green Day song. Oh, or, Jesus Christ. What are we doing here?
I don't know. Let's wrap it up.
I think we're making gold.
I know. We are spinning gold like Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelfortskin.
What?
If that porn hasn't been made, it needs to be. Rumpled foreskin.
You know it has, Brian.
I know.
You've seen it. All right, let's do it.
I'm going to go and look that shit up tonight.
That'll be in Dropbox, too.
Yes. Don't get wear secrets. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to us bullshit about Sasquatch. Thanks for listening to us squatch scat about...
Squatchcast.
Squatchcast. Exists.
Don't see it. What do you say?
Yeah.
We recommend stuff a lot.
Squatchcast exists.
Exists.
Yeah, the Squatchcast.
Exists the movie... Shoulder shrug.
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't not enjoy it. We're trying to wrap it up. Let's not get back into it.
I didn't not enjoy it. I think if you have nothing else to do,
I'd find something else to
watch. If you just moved into a new house, I think it's not a bad movie to watch.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Horrible Podcast.